Thank you, Steve. I'm glad that you mentioned the White Sox home opener because I was really bummed for all the fans that went out there and did some tailgating, and they had, what, like a two-hour delay,
yeah.
And then the game was canceled.
That's sad, isn't it?
What's sad is you probably take a day off of work to go to the home opener, and then there is no game, so do you take today off now, too?
Well, the way they structure it almost always in baseball is you have your home, you have your opener, and they always leave the day, the next day off in case of some
They do that intentionally?
Like, yeah. You know, the Cubs' first game was Sunday, and then yesterday was an off day just in case it got rained out or could get snowed out this time of year. So that was the plan over on the south side. You know, no game yesterday on the regular opening day, so they'll just do it today. But today's just as bad as it was yesterday.
Yeah, and like if you took the day off to go, do you then call your boss? That's what I'm asking. And then you go, sorry, can't make it to work again today. And you're right. It looks
it's
pretty
just
crappy.
As bad.
Only if you showed up yesterday at 3 and today I'm in. I'm here.
Right. Did I say I was going to be sick today? Because
yeah.
I'm not. I'm
feeling
fine.
Pretty good.
One of the strangest things in baseball, and I have been a baseball fan since I was 3. I just love baseball. One of the strangest things in baseball to me is watch any of the games on opening day, and you have a near capacity, if not full house. Day 2, almost nobody.
So, well, because it's a ceremonial thing. You want to be, it's the home opener.
Right.
And not everybody can take off work to go to every single game.
Oh, without a doubt, but... Is it that big of a deal to see game one as opposed to game two? Look at the drop off.
Yeah, because there's ceremonies.
I guess.
There's a presentation, a film strip.
Your team's still in it.
Right. Sometimes you're in Chicago by the second day, your team has already been erased from pennant contention. All right, there's that.
It's the, you know, I don't know if you're like this. I know I have a husband and a son who are like this, only one son. They need to see a movie on opening weekend. To me, it's
really?
Like, if I want to see it, I won't go opening weekend because it's going to be too crowded.
So many things we go to, I think, I have this, as I get older, we have this need to go so we can tell other people we were there.
Just the mere fact that you were attending
I was at opening day.
Yeah, I guess.
No one wants to hear that you were at the second game of the season.
That's
right.
True.
Who's
I
excited
went to game
by that?
Two.
Ooh, what was that like?
What'd you do last week? Oh, I went to a baseball game. Great. Opening day? No, second game.
Yeah,
you're right.
Oh, wasn't it cold? Thunder. Wasn't it brutal?
I wonder if they're going to get it in. What does the sod father have to say?
I know they're trying their best, of course. Now, I've been to several opening days where it's been like this. Actually, I've been to several opening days where it's been way, way, way colder than this. And you sit there and you say to yourself, why did I need to be here for this? This is awful.
I've been in the snow, rain.
Yep.
Oh, there's a little bonus for people who went to the White Sox home opener yesterday and the game was postponed till today. Brian, there's a little perk.
Yeah, they can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good morning. They said that they get another ticket for another game, too, and they don't pay for parking today.
Oh, wow. They're stacking the bonuses on. That's excellent.
They're trying to fill the park.
I know.
Yeah, they've got to fill the park, but they probably feel like a lot of people aren't going to show up, like, because you said you got to take another day off work. You know, that's the explanation to your boss and money.
Yeah, I'm curious to know how many people showed up yesterday's attendance, and then if today happens, I'd like to see the difference.
Right, right.
Were you there yesterday, Brian?
No, I wanted to go with my son, but then we were going to go to Milwaukee on Saturday because it was inside, and that was a preseason game, but I was thinking, you know, take my son before he goes to college and do something with
that. Oh, that's nice.
But it would have been terrible. He would have took off school, and it would have rained all day.
Yeah.
There's a scenario down there where, you know, they don't tell you the game's canceled till you're in there. You got a hot dog in your hand, maybe a beer or pop, you know, whatever you're drinking, you know.
Sure.
You know, okay. you mentioned going to Milwaukee. I was listening to The Beat on Saturday or was it Sunday? Sunday. I can't remember. Adam Hoge was on the air.
Mm-hmm.
He took his family to Milwaukee, and it was a $10 ticket to get in. And then once you got in, you got a $10 voucher for any kind of food.
What?
So it was free.
Oh, that's nice.
You should have gone, Brian.
I should have. Yeah, I should have.
Oh, well.
Next time.
Go Sox.
Yeah, go Sox.
Thanks, Brian. I love them just stacking on the bonuses. You want free parking? We'll give you free. You want another ticket? Yeah. You want Jose Abreu to bring you Thai food during the game? We can do that. What do you need? Whatever you need.
I would go for that.
I know.
But yeah, Adam Hoge was saying it was $10, a $10 ticket to go to a game in Milwaukee, and you got a $10 voucher. And he was wondering, he's thinking, they're not going to let me use it for beer. They
right,
did.
Right.
So it's like you got to go
That's
in free and get a free beer.
That's excellent. A couple of years ago, one of my neighbors had tickets. He called me up. He goes, hey, there's a game coming up. I can't go. It's to the Cubs. Two tickets, great seats. You want them? Absolutely. So I bring Kylie with me, one of my daughters, and it's raining a little bit on the way there, just a little drizzle.
Like misty kind of thing?
Yeah, nothing serious. But by the time we sit down, it's just a few minutes to game time, it starts pouring. So she says, what do we do? And I go, well, we'll wait it out. Well, they call the game 3.5 hours later, but we stayed and had one of the best times we've ever had at a baseball park. I mean, whatever kind of food came by, she goes, I wouldn't mind trying that. I go, let's get one of those. So we just sat there.
In the rain?
Yeah, it was just a...
You were in the shelter, though?
It was this, kept... It, once the rain would get bad, we'd go inside a little bit. But then once the drizzle came, we would just sit out there, and we had a small umbrella. And it was fantastic. We just sat there, took everything in, watched the festivities, you know?
You just reminded me why it's very important to leave a giant leaf and garden bag in your purse.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking when we were at Disney and it was like this torrential rain, it's like $80 for a poncho. It's not that much, but it's a lot.
Expensive. Oh, I thought you meant because you ate too much.
No. And then, you know, if you have a garbage bag on your person, you can just punch a hole for your head and two for your arms and look like SpongeBob green lawn bag.
It's fashionable.
It is not, but it keeps you dry. All right. Michael wants to jump on the line. He has called us, Bill, at 312-981-7200. Hi, Michael.
Yes. Yes. How are you guys?
Good.
Excellent.
Guess what?
Huh.
If all the employers added up the number of employees that called in to attend opening day, it would be more than all the tickets that were sold for opening day.
Oh, sure.
Oh, they used it as an excuse.
Some people just skip the day of work. Why not?
Absolutely.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
Remember when the Cubs parade was going on downtown?
Yeah.
A lot of kids they weren't excused. It wasn't an excused absence from school, but a lot of kids bailed on school.
Sure.
I called my boys in. They didn't go, and we don't even like the Cubs, but I said they were. Because, you know, why should a Sox fan suffer from getting the day off of school?
What?
I said they...
You've angered Steve. I hope you're happy.
I said, you know, and I didn't lie because I said they will be taking the day off because of the Cubs victory parade. I didn't say they were going.
It's all in the wording.
Sox fans should always suffer.
Shut up, Michael. Bad connection. Gotta let you go.
Right.
Oh, let the rivalry begin opening day.
It has. All right, a break. More show. If you want to call us or text us, 312-981-7200 is your best bet. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We were talking about the White Sox home opener yesterday, and unfortunately it got rained off after a two-hour delay. I have a friend who I saw her Facebook post, and Linda said, we're tailgating, we're having fun. Mm-hmm. I didn't see her response 2 hours later when there was no game.
That's too bad.
Because you could be happy expecting, you know what, we'll tailgate, the food's great.
Sure.
Cocktails are great. At least we'll go to a game.
Right. Mm-mm. Didn't happen.
No, it sure
Maybe
didn't.
Maybe later today.
All right. Another idea. If you attended yesterday's home opener at White Sox Park, that's what I'm calling it. James, you have more information on the ticket?
Yes, I have some good news. I spoke with them earlier this morning, and because I'm at work now and wasn't able to go again today. So they informed me that you can take your ticket to the box office and exchange it for any game during the season, but not a premium game.
Well, that's pretty great. So it was not for nothing then.
Yeah, I guess so.
But that's standard actually, when there's a rain out. That's kind of standard, isn't it?
I think you have to go to the same game, I thought.
No, if it's rain.
I thought it was that you just go the next day for opener at least.
Maybe, but I was always under the belief in the past anyway, it's been if your game is rained out, you just get to pick a future date, but then they have some blacked out dates for the premium games.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news, James, although aren't you bummed you're back at work today?
I am so bummed.
I don't know if they're going to get this game in. It's sure...
It's really drizzly.
Well, the tarps have been on all night. Thank you, James.
Thanks, James.
I think the rain's supposed to move out.
Is it?
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
God, you know, if for the poor people who went there yesterday and hung out, and then if they do the same thing today and the game gets called,
2 days in a row,
they will never go back to a Sox game ever, free ticket or not.
I know.
All right, and finally, Jeff wants to talk to us. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I got a question. Anybody with a weather map knew they were not going to play baseball yesterday. Why didn't they call the game Sunday night?
That's a great question.
For Tuesday?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question because you could tell. The rain was not only expected, it was guaranteed.
Yeah,
guaranteed
hour
rate.
By hour. And they're going to play baseball today. I can tell again just by looking at the weather map.
You should be the guy that everybody calls, Jeff. You should be the determiner.
This is really Tom Skilling, Wendy. And Phil, you're right. You can turn in your ticket for any game, and I don't know why it's the premium games are cut out as well. It should be any game.
Yeah, they always set aside. There's always a dozen or so games that they consider to be primo games that they don't just want to give tickets away to. But yeah, it should be any game.
Wouldn't you think opening day is a premium day?
Oh yeah, without a doubt, one of the biggest.
Anyway, I got to go. I got to head down to the park for a second day in a row.
All right,
go Sox.
Okay, love your show.
Thank you.
Love you, Jeff.
So instead of guaranteed rate, it would be called Guaranteed Rain Stadium. Is that what we're going to call it?
I like it.
All right.
I'm still calling it Sox Park. I called it Comiskey yesterday.
I'm calling it Chico's Bail Bonds Field. It's got the same kind of power, doesn't it?
I'm suing you.
That's fine.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Ron?
Hey, Bill, I want to let you know.
Yes.
Go to opening day because you got Verlander head to head with Quintana, man.
You tend to get the best pitching matchups. Every team throws their ace on opening day, so there's that. But I just think, like Steve said, you do it for the legend so that in years and years you can say, yeah, I was there on opening day. The year the Cubs won the World Series, I was there on opening day. The year the White Sox won it, I was there on opening day.
If you tell stories about being at opening day during the snow, you're tough. If you tell stories about being at in the snow on game two, you're stupid.
Right.
Well, it's baseball time, and that's what I care about.
That's anyway, all that matters.
In the interest of equality for Wendy, I want to say go Tigres.
Why?
Wendy is
Why
confused.
Why are you a Tigers
that?
Fan?
Lifelong Tiger fan. Lifelong.
They are not great.
68 World Series with Al Kaline and Willie Horton and...
That was a team.
Remember that like it was 50 years ago.
Well, whatever, Ron. Good luck.
Thanks.
Ron, as a Tigers fan, do you still remember fondly Mark Fidrich? Because I do. That was one of my favorite pitchers of all time.
Mark the Bird Fidrich.
He was nuts. He was an absolute lunatic.
He was a lunatic, but I'll tell you, what a fastball, boy.
Yeah.
That young man could bring it.
Wendy, this was a guy, Mark Fidrich. They called him the Bird, because he had like a big bird hair. So he would go out on the mound and he would landscape the mound. Like when he was supposed to be pitching, he'd be like making it look pretty on the mound, and then he'd talk to himself.
Really,
you just see him talking to himself all the time.
Was he a good pitcher?
Yeah, it was 18-8 that rookie season.
Yeah, but then he kind of went away, right?
Yeah.
And you know how he died?
A truck fell on him.
A truck or a tractor? Yeah, on a farm.
Yeah.
That's not a good way to go, man.
No.
Huh?
No.
Thanks for cheering us up, Ron.
All right. Well, get ready because the big boys are in town today.
Yep.
So that ball should be if we get this game in and we need to, the ball should be flying out of the park.
Good to know. Thank you, Ron.
I
think it's pretty adorable when you guys like go back in time and talk about these old baseball players. I'm not kidding you. I think it's really cute because it's like all of a sudden you two turn into little boys again.
Well, you know what part of it is I can't speak for Steve, but on the back of baseball cards, there were years where they would put in one of the corners a fun fact about that player. And it was like literature to us. We would just memorize all these stupid fun facts about the players that really, they'll serve you no good throughout your life.
Are you kidding? It comes back on the show every year.
I guess.
You'd get I was listening, but you'd get the yearbook too. Remember the yearbook?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. We weren't listening.
Glossy pictures. And I'm doing other things.
Great.
Too.
What kind of yearbook? Like just like a fan?
Every team would put out like the year's highlights for that particular team. There was that. Yeah.
And the page, and then it'd talk about, you know, where they were from and their family. And
like then, Playboy kind of.
No, not at all.
Not like, and then remember Who's Who in Baseball, Steve? Did you ever get that? It was this little red book that would come out when the season started, and every single player was in there with his stats and his story. And that was, you know, that was like the most important book in the world when you were a 9 or 10 year old boy.
It's still fun when I look through like the White Sox handbook and see like, oh, where they came from, whether they're married.
Yeah.
It's kind of exciting.
It is, isn't it?
But
it
the fun facts aren't as fun as they used to
no,
be.
No, I don't know why. It's just not, I can't help it.
I was at the last game at the old Comiskey Park, and then I was at the first game.
Me too, on both.
Yeah. And it rained and it was cold.
And wasn't it weird to be in one Major League Baseball park and look across the street and see another Major League Baseball park? Because Old Comiskey was not knocked down yet.
Right, it was very weird.
Yeah,
I had a white brick signed by Toots McCuddy.
You did?
Yeah. Remember the
Toots McCuddy, Wendy, the proprietor of McCuddy's, the bar that people say Babe Ruth used to go in and have a beer between innings.
Oh yeah,
which
Toots,
he didn't.
Toots was the little girl upon whose lap, or who sat on Babe Ruth's lap.
Yeah, yeah.
And she signed your brick?
Well, you remember the exterior of Comiskey, they had, a lot of it was white brick, but some of it was glossy.
Yeah.
And I was there the day they tore it down and got a brick.
Oh, that's excellent.
Were you there as a fan or were you covering it?
Covering it, but I was there because it was cool. But Toots signed it with a felt tip. It didn't last. It rubbed off.
Oh, bummer.
And how old was Toots at the moment, at the time?
80.
She was pretty, she was elderly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. Toots is Toots. Toots or Toots?
Toots.
Okay.
Toots McCuddy.
Yeah. That's like the most Chicago name in history.
It is kind of,
You can't get a more Chicago name than that.
You nailed it on that.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Marina, aqua marina, auprès de toi.
Marina Squarciati is here. You know her and love her from her work on Chicago PD and other things. And Marina, I can't tell you how hard it was for me to find this song just for you. Have you ever heard this song before?
No, but I was kind of in awe because you said my last name correctly and you didn't ask me how to say it.
Oh.
We asked that? Kevin before you came in. Our producer helped us a little bit.
And you've been on with us
before. How does it feel being under the bus?
We both asked.
Yeah.
To be on the safe side.
Safe.
Well, nice job, Kevin.
But you were on with us before, so we committed it to memory.
Yeah, that has not happened ever. I mean, still, I tell people right before like a show, and then they'll be like, Marina Ska. And you're like, I just told you, man. Like, I just told you.
It's Italian, correct?
It's Italian.
And what does it mean? Does it have a meaning in Italian?
Well, apparently, squared is like, it's either an instrument that's been broken or an oak tree that's been broken.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Which the instrument might have been made from
the oak
tree,
yeah.
So it's very similar.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's very pretty. I like it.
What song was that, by the way?
That is a song called Marina, which is from a kid show called Stingray from when I was a kid.
Oh.
It was a puppet, animated puppet show.
I remember it.
You remember?
Well.
You loved it.
I don't at all.
Isn't it the reason you went into show business?
Yeah. The Stingray puppet.
Your inspiration.
I was like, that Stingray needs a sidekick.
Something major has changed with you since we last saw you.
Yeah, what?
I'm not going to say it, because if I'm wrong, how bad will I look?
Yeah, don't ask a woman this question, Bill.
What if I'm wrong?
I'm about to pop. I got a baby inside me.
You know what would mean the world to Wendy and me is if you would have it on the show.
No.
Today. Could you do it?
I would have it on the show.
No, please don't.
That would mean so much to us.
I feel like I'm getting mixed messages, guys.
No, first of all, Bill would faint, and then I would be stuck with all the work. But he just wants it because it would be interesting to listen to.
It would be fun to watch and listen to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that would be a lot of screaming, a lot of like.
Right.
All right.
Would you consider it? At least consider it?
No, I'm going to put it in my back pocket. I'm gonna mull over it.
What caused this? Do you know what brought this on?
No.
No
idea. I'm so shocked. No. You know, I'm actually on a kind of maternity leave from my show, which is, at first I was like, no, don't make me go. It was hard, but it's hard to work when you're waddling.
Like, it is.
Especially because they're hiding it on the show. So it's like,
your
a lot
character
of
is not having a baby.
At this point, I'd have to hold like a computer monitor. Just like, just deliver computer monitors to everybody. Like, who ordered the computer monitor again?
Because you've seen on other shows, they do the weirdest things. They stand behind couches and stuff.
Yeah.
I have this this really big episode coming up, this kind of one-off on Wednesday. And I'm really proud of the episode and love it. But it's also like, I feel like it should be a drinking game. Like, grocery bag, car door, LaRoyce's head, file folder.
LaRoyce's head.
Oh, yeah. That's a solid saver right there.
A great screen.
Yeah, yeah. Or he like points his arm, and I'm like, I get right behind his arm. Yeah.
Did they have to be more delicate and careful with you as it's progressed? Because you don't want to be running and jumping and knocking people down.
I mean, you do. I mean, like, you have to protect yourself, of course.
Sure.
But you know, stunts in general, you're protected. They're hard. But like, you're wearing back pads, and it's a choreographed thing. So like, there's this really intense sort of brutal scene that I go through with a perp in this episode. It's really dark, and I do have to sort of beat up this guy. And I did do it.
Yeah.
I mean, but you have to just be a little more careful. And then the breaks between each take, I just needed like a bottle of water and a few more minutes than normal.
And a bathroom break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To reboot. And then
how did he feel having been beat up by a pregnant lady? Was he proud of that? Probably.
I had to keep saying, because I would feel the stunt double came in, he wouldn't so much, but the actor, who was wonderful, he kind of held back. I think he was scared. And I was like, I need you to just be in it, and I will protect my belly and myself.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Because if you're kind of giving me 50%, it's going to look like 50%.
Yeah, that's good advice. This is your first one.
Yeah, and the way this pregnancy is going, I'd say last. I don't like it.
Do you know the sex of the baby?
I do. I'm not going to say. I'm kind of going to like announce
it. Can you narrow it down?
50-50.
Human.
Bill.
Human.
You know, I'm going to get gross
actually,
for a minute.
I don't know. Sure.
But you know, you got the little turkey baster, your umbilical cord slash belly button that pops out when you're about ready to pop. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's the only time you can really clean that thing.
That's so gross.
I know, but it's so true.
That is, I can't, that's just, I can't even, we
I
have to
I feel dirty
on.
For being in the room.
I like kind of have shivers.
I do.
And
oh,
I don't
you
get
stopped. No, you should.
Really, that gives you shivers. Wait till you have the baby. There are things you're going to see and experience that will be more shiver inspiring.
Yeah, I know. My girlfriend of mine in the building I live in had a baby like 10 days ago, and she was telling me about some blowouts, and I'm like, oh God, no, too soon, too soon.
You don't
want
to hear this stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm not ready.
No,
I'm not ready.
No.
I'll get there.
You have names picked out already?
I do. I'm kind of trying to go like Italian a little bit. That's kind of my sense, but everyone's like, go into the room and wait till you see the baby. So that's what I'm doing.
I just read. I wish I could give credit where credit was due, but they said.
I'll take the credit. It was
I'll give you this credit, but it's like, you know, we waited to. It was someone from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the guy who plays Dennis. He had a baby and they had names picked out, but they wanted to say, you know, wait till we see this baby. And it's like, I can't tell what this baby looks like. It looks like a little old man or an insect or an alien.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That didn't help.
Well, I really want to do this thing where, like, you know how you send out, like, please welcome this person. I really want to send out these things because, you know, I'm like the only actor in my family. My family's pretty conservative. And I want to send out like, welcome Sparrow Music Johnson Scorchati or like Music Festival Building.
Just to scare
Scorchati.
Them?
Scorchati. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, God. Crazy actress.
But you gotta,
like computer you... monitor. I mean, I want to go so far that people are like, ugh.
But if you're going Italian, think of like mustacholi
or
farfalla.
Yeah. Or a bolognese.
Yeah.
Bolognese, music festival, Scorchati.
Do that.
I kind of want.
Like,
I really, really want to.
You were talking about this special episode that airs tomorrow. This involves an attack of the character's sister, sister.
Nicole, yeah. I have to say, like, the last big episode I did was last year. It was kind of a one-off where I shot an unarmed black kid, and it was kind of dealing with, you know, this tension that the cops and the citizens of Chicago are having. And it was really great. I mean, I also think the topic of consent and the topic of rape right now is really in the news. And to be able to take that on and bring it into people's living rooms in a way that promotes discussion is pretty awesome. And that makes it sound like it's a, you know, really stuffy episode. It's an episode I'm so proud of. And even if you don't watch Chicago PD, like, this is the one.
Oh,
I gotta
must
say.
See.
Yeah. This is my last one before my maternity leave, but it's pretty. I'm like, wow, everyone puts everything into it. It was a great episode.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. You're good on time. You can stay.
I mean, if I don't have the baby, sure.
Please don't have the baby.
Do it on air.
Okay.
It'd be so good for our ratings, please.
Be weird in commercial break afterwards. We hear like,
that is the most amazing baby.
That's a good baby impression.
Thank you.
You know, it's weird when you hear that noise, your breasts will leak next time.
I feel like these things, you keep going.
I, you know, everybody tells you all the cute cuddly stuff. I'm here to tell you the truth.
You know what? I'm ready for that. Just let's keep with the cute, cuddly stuff.
All right. Marina Squarciati, we will continue talking to her about her web series, but we're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN.
It's Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder. Marina Squarciati is here. She plays Kim Burgess on Chicago PD, and she's going to have a baby any minute. There it is. There it is. I have a surprise for you. Because you work for Dick Wolf, I have a copy of your ultrasound. Listen to your ultrasound. Listen to this. How about that?
It was odd. It was, you know, we were all surprised in the doctor's office.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I know.
Boy, what's in there? You said human, right?
Yeah.
All right, good to know.
I got a fan actually sent me a onesie that says, Welcome to the Wolf Wolf Pack.
Oh, that's cute.
Excellent. Excellent. You're on your way to France very soon.
Yes, a bunch of us are going. Soph and Jesse and Colin from Med and Miranda from Fire. I mean, it's going to be great. I may or may not have a baby with me. But yeah, it's going to be this convention called Empire on a 20th and 21st in Paris.
Have the baby, a French baby. Your baby would cry in French.
I love these ideas. You know I can't control when it comes, right? Like, I just want to make sure.
But a baby with a little pencil-thin mustache, what would be cooler than that?
Nothing.
That would be the best thing ever.
My mom already sent a Halloween costume for the baby.
What is it?
A pineapple.
The baby's first Halloween costume,
yeah.
A pineapple.
And at first I was annoyed because I was like, I kind of want to choose it. And then I looked at it and it's like huge and amazing and just going to be so ridiculous. I'm into it.
That's really cute. And a pineapple is a symbol for welcome. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, that's right. You're supposed to bring as a when you get to someone's house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just found that out. Colin just told me that.
Yeah.
From Med. Yeah.
A welcome baby.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to have. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Special Skills, this new web series that we're going to see Marina Squarciati in a different light.
Yeah. Funny. But
I'm sure
you can tell
by this interview. Funny.
I mean, well, when I first started out, I did like stand up and improv, and I didn't think my first, you know, series regular job would be Chicago cop. But it's called the Special Skills Show, and you go to the specialskillsshow.com, and we're all sort of like all the guest stars from Chicago PD, Chicago Med, and Chicago Fire are all in these sketches that are like really funny about two actors trying to make it in Chicago.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know of Dave Pasquese.
I was just going to ask if Dave's behind this because I just read about this a little while ago.
Yeah, so Dave Pasquese, who's kind of like a cultural icon of Chicago, directed it. So it's just, they're 5-minute sketches. There's about five of them. We have one that we're going to be releasing next week on Monday with Brian Garrity. And I promise you, you'll laugh. They're really funny.
You're in good hands with him. He's one of the best.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. And he's also in good hands with me.
Yeah. You're one of the best.
Yeah. Because I'm, you know, not one of the best, but I make people laugh.
What was your stand-up like?
It was surprisingly dirty.
Was it really?
Yeah, which is why I don't feel comfortable doing it now that I'm kind of like known in Chicago. So,
and soon to be a mother.
Yeah, right. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
So I
should remember that once in a while.
Yeah.
But also I grew up, my mom was a single mom and I had a Latin nanny. So, and they don't speak the same language. So there's some comedy there. I'll tell you that.
Because Bill did stand up for 10 years
And
was not dirty at all.
No.
And was hysterically funny.
That was my goal. I said, I know you've seen Marina and she's filthy.
Yeah.
I'm going to clean things up for you.
That's good. You know, I like it.
Good. Very good.
I really recommend that you see the comedy show and see, like, it's nice to see another side of these actors that you watch every week that are dark. You know, it's dark stuff that we're tackling. And it's nice to see, like, Monica Raymond, like, come in and just, you know, tear me a new one.
Oh,
it's
good.
Like, it's fun. It's really fun.
It's amazing what Dick Wolf, we talked about earlier, who produces your show, what he's built here in town.
Totally.
There's so many shows going on thanks to him.
Yeah.
What is it about the city, do you think? I mean, it really is a very photogenic city, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you know, you tell your friends when they come, like, take the architecture tour, and they kind of roll their eyes, and you're like, no, no.
It's seriously.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's a beautiful city, but also the people are awesome, and people want to do things. There's always, like, cool things going around.
Yeah.
It's... You know, there's a breakdancing competition at the end of the month that I'm going to go to.
You are not.
I am.
You're not performing.
Oh, are you kidding?
You'll have the baby by then.
You have not seen me twerk. No, I don't even think that's a...
That's how you're going to deliver the baby.
Yeah. I just got to get stuff going. I was going to watch it, but now I'm like, I should compete.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Actually, I took a class once for breakdancing, and then I as soon as it was over, I just left. I took off all my clothes at home and then put everything that was in my freezer on my body. And I felt 110. Yeah, because all the people that are like learning breakdancing are like 15. And you're there like, I could do, oh, yeah. God, no. The body doesn't want.
When you're filming here in town, I mean, New York is used to seeing TV and movies shot, and so is Los Angeles, but we're not here in Chicago. Does a crowd gather every time you're shooting something around the city?
Not every time, but, you know, if they can tell what's happening, generally people are like, what's going on? What's going on? And if sometimes people leak it, too. If it's leaked, then we'll get a crowd for sure.
And you guys are so cool with the fans. I mean, during your breaks and stuff, you're so approachable and nice.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, we try. Sometimes it's hard. I mean, I'm a sort of, people call me a guilt sponge. Like, I do feel bad sometimes when we're whisked off to another location. And you just don't have time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so easy to, like, someone says something like, oh, she was so rude, she couldn't. But it's like your job, and you're not always in control of your time. But when we have time, we absolutely make time for the fans, because they make us.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, it's, you know, and I've been actually getting a lot of, like, baby books and onesies for my fans. It's really nice and touching. Yeah. It's
kind that's perfect.
Are you ready to be a mom?
I don't think so, but, you know, it's going to happen.
You'll make do.
Yeah.
You grow into it. Cause I was not one who ever babysat.
No,
I would rather see somebody's new puppy rather than their baby.
I hear you.
But it's something happens.
But I also think that there's like this sort of tendency in this culture to be like, you have to want to be a mom and you have to want this. And you know what? It'll be a great time and I'll grow into it. And, you know, it'll be great. But it's not like I was like mooning for babies.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
So
you're gonna be the poster child for moms. You know that, Marina.
Well, see,
but she's a real mom.
Yeah,
I know.
A lot of moms won't reveal that.
Yeah. Right. You know, and I had a really tough pregnancy, and people like I read about these celebrities, they're like, oh, I ran the whole time. And I'm like, oh, I was in bed. I barely moved. And I'd like sit on the couch, and if the remote was too far away, I was like, guess I'm not watching TV. That's a shame. You know, it's not easy. So
it isn't easy, but the payoff is sweet.
That's great. I'll come back if it's not. And be
I'll move.
Feel free to leave the baby with Wendy and me during the daytime. We're here during the day, and there's a room in there. We could just keep the baby in there.
Everybody says, everyone offers babysitting when you're like having a baby shower. Like, Amy Morton and Sophia Bush threw me a baby shower, which was like lovely. I told them no baby games, and I was not going to open presents. So I was like not so nice about it, but I just wanted to party with friends, and it was really great, and everyone offered to babysit, and I can't imagine being like, hey.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. You did offer to babysit about a month ago. You free? Like,
just say that. They don't really,
that's
the follow through is not there.
Okay, I was kind of asking. I was like, do they really mean it? Because I've got a lot of people.
Well, go through your list. Somebody will.
Kara was like, I'll do it every night. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
She's just
We'll see.
That.
We'll see what happens.
Good luck to you.
We're thrilled for you. Honestly.
And check out Special Skills. You can go to thespecialskillsshow.com. Monday we're going to see an webisode.
Yeah, the new one comes out with Brian Garrity, who is my partner, and a lovely, really funny guy, and very different from the ones we have up there right now.
Awesome. Can't wait. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
We'll take a quick break.
No,
what's that noise?
No.
What is that noise?
Yeah.
Thanks, Marina. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It always amazes me how quickly the first Tuesday of every month comes along.
Yes, it's our chance to see Mike McNamara again, the co-founder, the executive director, and we just found out rapper. I didn't know that until we just found that out about you, Mike. That's crazy.
That's from the old days. No, Mom, don't worry. I'm not a rapper.
You're
there will be
give
no
this
rapping.
Up to be a rapper?
Never.
You have brought two guests with you, Mike. Please introduce them.
Sure. Well, tonight at the Midwest Independent Film Festival, you know, we are all about films that are made in Chicago and the Midwest. This one is 100% Chicago. It's called The View from Tall, and it's actually the first film for these two co-directors and for this lead actress. So we have co-director Erica Weiss here and lead actor Amanda Drinkall.
Hi, Erica. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Thank you very
Hi.
Much for being here.
Thanks.
We're almost tired of saying this, Erica, but it needs to be said, and I'm looking forward to the day that it doesn't need to be said anymore. There aren't enough women directors, so why do you want to be a director in films?
Well, It's true. And actually, especially with Caitlin and I as a directing team, there are almost no, you can't really name many, if any, working female directing teams in Hollywood. And yeah. I think right now, especially, it's never been more important to work on parity and gender parity in the film community. Female stories need to be told,
sure.
and they need to be told to a broad audience, and that perspective just needs to be at the forefront right now. We have to really grab the narrative and showcase female stories as stories that are human and universal. So I think it's a really important time for that. And Caitlin and I have been working in theater. Caitlin writes for television. She writes for Supergirl on the CW.
Mm-hmm.
So moving into feature film was a natural step for us and another way for us to join our voices and get them out into the world.
Tell us a little about The View from Tall.
So The View from Tall started as a play by the same name. It was the first play that Caitlin ever wrote when she was 18 years old. It was also the first thing that she and I ever worked together on. We met at the theater school at DePaul University.
Mm-hmm.
We did a production of it in school. It premiered off-Broadway at the Cherry Lane because it won the National Young Playwrights Festival.
Wow.
So it came from mm-hmm. an 18-year-old perspective at the time. But it was the thing that bonded us and the thing that brought us together as a team. We'd been working together since then for the better part of the last 12, 13 years. When it came time to, we really thought that we should make a movie. The reason that we decided to make The View from Tall is we really wanted to tell the story again from a different angle now, being in our 30s. And we specifically wanted to make something here. The play was not really set in any particular city. It was a three-person play. And we wanted to do the film with Michael Patrick Thornton, who is the lead actor in the movie. In the play, his character was never written as a disabled character, but we loved his voice so much in the role from an emotional point of view. His voice was just so right
mm-hmm.
that we decided we needed to rewrite the role, tailor it to him specifically, and get it made here in Chicago with as many people from our community as possible.
So the script is altered a little bit.
Yeah, it's altered a fair amount to open up his story and his backstory and allow for his story to be a part of how we bring these characters together
mm-hmm.
without really making it too much of an issue. In it's just part of who he is and part of what he brings to the table.
Give us a little bit of the story of what goes on in The View from Tall.
The View from Tall is about Justine, who is 17 years old. She's a senior in high school, and she is suffering the fallout at home, at school, and personally of having been caught having an affair with her high school English teacher. She is sent by her parents to therapy as a way of avoiding having charges brought against the teacher. And meets Douglas, her therapist, who is a disabled man who uses a wheelchair, and they wind up surprisingly getting each other through the worst year of each of their lives in ways that sort of blur the lines of what is and isn't appropriate, is what I will say. And the film asks us to wrestle with that friendship and that relationship.
And Amanda, this is your Amanda Drinkall is here as well, the lead actor. You look 17 years old in this movie. You're not 17 years old, I take it.
I'll be 17 if you want me to be.
But in reality, you're in your 50s, so to be that old and play
she
a character.
Looks great.
Impressive.
A lot of moisturizer.
Yeah.
We were talking off the air. You've done a lot of theater. Go ahead and mention some of the theater you've done.
Yeah, this is my first movie. Right now I'm in a show up at Northlight called By the Water. I just finished King Charles III at Chicago Shakes. I've worked at the Goodman and Steppenwolf and Victory Gardens. I've been
Get to the
Chicago.
Good ones. What are the good ones?
Those are the good ones. The good ones.
And how different
That's
was this?
It really, Erica is, and Caitlin as well, they're really good at directing. So it made it a lot easier for me, especially, I felt, kind of bridging the gap between film and stage work. It's really pretty similar. It's just a lot smaller. You don't have to worry about getting all those emotions to the back of the house. You're just getting across the room to the person next to you.
Is it weird not having a large audience that reacts to what you're doing? I guess you can look at the director's face as things are going on, but there's some kind of instant gratification when you're doing it up on
Definitely.
A stage as opposed
yeah.
to filming.
Yeah, on stage there is that kind of instant gratification, like you said, and kind of checking in with the audience all the time, but then in film, you're just surrounded by people with machines looking
right.
at you. So I guess you kind of use them as your audience. But that also is helpful kind of then just kind of blocking out the idea of needing an audience and really being able to connect with your partner. And Michael is such a great scene partner. He really made it easy.
The tone of the film is obviously, because we know the subject matter, it's kind of somber. Is the set always somber? Do you want to keep things a little on the downside when
Oh, wow. Nope.
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 It's
we had fun. We had a good time.
Mike yeah. is probably the least somber person I've ever met,
True.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He's he made it a lot of fun.
Good. Very, yeah. very good.
Yeah.
This isn't its first time in Chicago, correct?
Right, yeah. It's screened a couple other times earlier this year, but tonight is going to be the big screening. We're going to have a lot of the cast and crew there. Michael Patrick Thornton will be there. Producer Mary Kay Cook will be there. Several other members of the cast and crew. And it looks like we're going to have a jam-packed house for tonight as well, which should be great. We've got about 10, 15 tickets left. So just head to MidwestFilm.org and buy them. And then tonight, 6 o'clock is when doors open at Midwest Independent Film Festival. Our pre-show gets going. We have a panel at 6:30. It's our investors panel.
Yeah.
These are all folks that invest in films. Some have invested in a ton of films. Some have not invested yet.
Mm-hmm.
We have a person driving up from Champaign, Illinois. Very successful car dealership franchises down there, and she's looking to get into investing in independent films. And then at the other end of the spectrum, we have Bobby Schwartz, who's invested in films with Jessica Biel and Ray Liotta and things like that. So it's
nice.
Going to be that full spectrum of just kind of a back and forth about what draws you to invest in a film, what kind of maybe does the opposite. And then at 7:30, right after that, will be The View from Tall, and it's going to be a great time.
We'll come back and discuss more of this. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200 will get that done. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with Mike McNamara, co-founder and executive director of the Midwest Independent Film Festival. His guests are Amanda Drinkall, the lead actress in The View from Tall, and Erica Weiss, who is the co-director of that film. It's showing tonight at the Midwest Independent Film Festival. Go to MidwestFilm.com. All the information's there. We talked about how there's not enough women directors in the film business. Most of the staff, most of the crew on this film were women, right?
We had 85% female crew heads and department heads, and the entire set and crew is 60% female on this show. So
it's so sad that I think there aren't all these women to do all that in the business, but there are.
There absolutely are. And, you know, but you will see a lot of films where you may see only one female crew head, and it's usually wardrobe, you know, makeup wardrobe. But there's so much talent out there. It in no way was it a sacrifice to make that kind of decision. Really important, and I think for everyone on set, the first time they'd ever worked in an environment like that, which is also a shame, but it's a real point of pride for us, and it made for an incredible experience.
Usually on a shoot, the director is the arbitrator and the decider of almost everything. So on a film where there's two directors, how did you come up with an agreement on anything you'd disagree about?
We share a brain.
Oh, you do?
We've been working together for so long.
It's true. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
We've been working together, as I said, for the better part of the last 13 years. So we really came together initially and continue to work together with a shared vision. We've done plays together. We have a TV pilot in development. So it was a natural progression, I think, to wind up co-directing. There are things that we may go back and forth on in terms of how we decide to do something. Never a disagreement on what we're trying to do. So we're both working towards
never.
The same goal. Really not. I mean, it's maybe it's surprising, but it's true. We have something that we want to say as a team, and what we always say about our conflicts is, you know, we may go back and forth, we may disagree. In the end, we know that one of us is right, and so we're going to agree in the end.
Yeah.
Is that how you two settle it?
Yes. Is that how you two settle it? Or sometimes we thumb wrestle. Magic 8-ball.
We thumb wrestle or magic 8-ball. Yeah, that's how we do it.
We told everyone on set and the cast and crew that if they had talked to one of us, they shouldn't consider that they've talked to both of us.
Oh, wow.
And that's how it felt, too. Awesome. As an actor, you would get direction from one and one day, and then the next day, Caitlin would be given direction, and then the next day, Erica would be given direction. And yeah. It was really fluid the way they worked together.
Excellent.
They're a great pair.
If you had an extra $100,000 in your budget, what would you have done differently with the movie?
What a question,
yes.
Bill.
You know. Bill bringing it today.
Bill won the thumb wrestle on that one.
That's a great question, and I'm really happy that the answer is not much.
Great.
Not much different. It was, I mean, maybe we would have had more time. You know, we shot the film in 17 days. So more time, more resources, so people, you know, didn't have to stretch as much. But in terms of the film that we made, the one that you'll get to see tonight, that's the movie we intended to make.
Yeah. A lot of times, Mike, when we talk about the films that are shown at the festival, there's other ways to see the film. They're on Netflix or there's some other way to see it. Right. Not tonight, correct?
This is it. This is the one. If you want to see this film, this is the only way that you're going to be able to see it at this point. Now, down the road, 6, 8, 9 months down the road, it'll probably pop up on some other, have a national release.
But...
6 months, 3 months, you never know. And when that happens, they're going to come back on and tell you all about it.
That's
but
right.
For tonight, this is the one chance to see this film. Because we do, it is so much harder these days to get people into the theater. I literally texted a friend the other day and was like, buy this documentary. It just came out. $5. He's like, is it going to be on Netflix? I'm like, buy this stupid. Just
worth it.
Come right. out to the theater. You know, right. So it's, you know, people are such a, we're a little more passive with all that. But tonight, it is time. Book your babysitter, cancel your plans, do whatever you got to do, but come to Landmark Century Center Cinema, 6 o'clock, right at 2828 North Clark, and come enjoy this wonderful, wonderful film.
The View from Tall.
That's
the name of it.
100% Chicago made. Come see it if you live in Chicago.
Perfect.
Yay.
Mike, thank you. Amanda, thank you. Erica, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with
Good
everything.
Luck.
We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Kim. Kim, can I ask you a quick question?
Of course.
What was Steve Bertrand like up in the newsroom today? Because he just came into a large sum
gloating.
Of money. Was he gloating?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the brackets, the bracket war of 2017, and he and Andrea Darlis were head-to-head, and it depended if North Carolina won or Gonzaga.
Yeah. And you know that's ugly, just pitting the two of them against each other.
You don't want to do that. That's sparks. That's sparks flying in all directions.
North Carolina and Gonzaga or Bertrand and Darlis?
Bertrand versus
but
Darlis.
But he's very giving with his winnings because he's bought everybody pizza today. It just
did
arrived.
He really?
Yes, he did. It's in here in the newsroom.
What a nice
Come
man.
Get some.
We'll have to stop up in
yeah,
between
there's
shows.
Plenty.
Did he just get like a small Totino's or did he get something?
No, I'm actually seeing 6 pizzas over there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. See, now that is a generous guy.
What a
guy.
Nice guy
he Malnati's, is. It looks like, yeah.
I would have seriously taken my winnings and gone home.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You quit your job.
Why? I mean, that's very nice of Steve Bertrand.
Yeah, isn't it?
Very
isn't it?
Tough.
Yeah, he's a nice man.
Wow. I
Every time you
my
think
ways.
You know somebody.
You know the bracelet, What Would Jesus Do, WWJD?
Yeah.
I'm going to go and get one, WWBD, What Would Bertrand Do?
Right. Those
because
would be big sellers.
He's just a nice man.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
When have I ever said that? I must really want pizza.
Congratulations to Zoe Ellis. Do you know who
Zoe
Ellis is?
Bill?
Zoe Ellis now finds herself in the Guinness Book of World Records for stopping fan blades with her tongue. This just happened over the weekend.
How old is Zoe? I'm just curious.
Old enough to know better.
And should we book her for the show? Because we'd
yes.
like to talk to, honestly, we really...
We've had a couple of people from the Guinness Book in the last year or
we
so.
We have to try and talk to Zoe Ellis. If you can talk.
Oh, come
Hello,
on.
Hello, Zoe.
Does that sound like her?
I like fans.
Sideshow performer Zoe Ellis, also known as Zoe Leah Moore. That's her stage name. If you're stopping,
What's your stage name?
Bill Leah Moore. Anytime you want to figure out someone's stage name, you use their first name and then you add the words La Amour, and that's how you figure out your stage name. sideshow performer Zoe Ellis, a.k.a. Zoe Leah Moore, because she wasn't getting enough attention stopping fans with her tongue. She had to spruce it up with a French-sounding name. Recently appeared on the Guinness World Record show in Italy in hopes of breaking her own world record for stopping the most electric fan blades using her tongue in 1 minute. Ellis previously managed to lick the world record. That's funny. By stopping fan blades with her tongue 20 times in 60 seconds. I've done the math, Wendy. That is one fan blade every 3 seconds for a full minute.
Well, yeah, because it goes around. So, right. I mean, you couldn't choose around? Which fan blade to lick. You just put your tongue there and turn it on.
Well, the way she does it is...
I'm watching it right now, and it's right. Zoe L'Amour, meaning
L'Amour.
Zoe
the
of love.
Of love.
Yeah.
Zoe of love.
So you should be Bill L'Amour, Bill of love.
Bill of love.
Because that's what you are.
Thank you for saying that. I will have the paperwork drawn up today. So what she does is she holds up a fan with her left hand, and when she decides it's time to make that fan stop, she puts her tongue on it and stops it. And then just as she's doing that, she lifts with her right hand another fan up, and she just keeps doing that continuously.
And there's no screen on the fan. It's just the blades going around.
Right.
So she removes that
right.
screen.
But slightly dangerous, would you agree? Just slightly?
Bill, we have seen people from the Jim Rose Circus sideshow suspend things from anatomy that shouldn't have things suspended from them.
I know.
I don't really understand it. I don't know what goes through someone's mind the first time when they go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lick a fan. We should have a contest. We could lick a fan.
You and me?
Like
I'll
a listener fan.
Oh, all right.
It would be safer.
There's going to be a lot of paperwork on that. Yeah, that first time has probably got to be the most challenging time because no matter how good you think your timing is, I can't even begin to guess how quickly a fan is revolving.
And you have to press down on it. You couldn't, like, if you stick your finger in a revolving fan.
And cut it off.
Yes, you're going to lose the tip of your finger.
Right.
So you have, does she, like, push down on it? I don't really understand her technique.
It all happened so fast on the video because I wanted to see what she was doing. I also thought there might be trickery involved, but there isn't. She's putting her tongue in a fan, 20 of them to be exact, in a minute, and making the blade stop. The video below will make it clear. I know it's radio. You can't see the video. It's the one that Wendy and I are watching. And can we put a link up, Kevin? We can do that, right? Kevin's going to put 20 links up in 1 minute to break his personal best. Needless to say, this is a feat that should only be attempted by a professional.
She didn't use her feet.
F-E-A-T. Do not try this at home. Do not try this anywhere else, it says.
Do you have to put a disclaimer like that on it? Because seriously, if you try that at home, you get what you have coming.
Right. Your tongue will be cut in half. And you deserve it, punk. For the record, Ellis managed to beat her world record on the video above by stopping the blade with her tongue 32 times. They had originally said 20, but she broke the record with 32. Shortly after filming this video, Ellis's new world record was sliced apart by Ashrita Furman. Her stage name, Ashrita L'Amour, Wendy.
No, it isn't.
Who tongue-stopped 35 blades in a minute. So just as soon as our friend Zoe Ellis breaks the record, Ashrita Furman, who's selfish, says, enough of that, I'll break the record, and she did.
Bill, if you had a unique talent and you saw someone break a record and
yes.
you were sitting there at home knowing, I have that unique talent and I could totally blow them away,
yeah.
you wouldn't come forward? I sure would.
Yes, I would. Yeah, I guess. I would give her a moment in the sun.
How long? A day?
A moment. 1 moment. 60 seconds. And then I would say, you think that's a record? Come to my house and see what my tongue can do. Wouldn't it be weird if someone just turned on the radio just then?
Yeah, especially your wife.
Yeah, that would be kind of strange. Have you ever, is there any world record that you'd say to yourself at some point, you know what, that's a good world record, but I would like to beat that world record?
I can't do anything unique. I really can't. Not really. I can't do anything fast like that.
No.
I mean, just your...
What about duration? Is there something, if not fast, is there something you could do for a long, long, long period of time? I know you like playing... Crazy Crush.
Oh, Candy Crush?
Yeah, Candy Crush.
Can I tell you, I'm sure I don't hold the record. Because there are people that are so far, they're like thousands of levels ahead of me.
Oh, all right, so that one's out. What about swearing? You're good at swearing. Could you break that record? swear
a record? What are you talking, baby?
Swear more than anyone
See?
Else has
Karma
ever
Karma Train
sworn.
Is getting running you over. I don't swear that much anymore.
Mm.
I've curbed it. I sound like I'm in the curb. But no, no, I can't.
You wouldn't do that?
I have no unique like you could do like a ping pong volley. You were talking about doing that.
I wanted a year ago, I said to the people in promotions, I want to break the world record for playing ping pong the longest. Like whatever, and it's not long. I looked it up. I don't remember what it is, but it's like
it's doable.
It's like a day or something of nonstop playing. I could do that.
But now, see, this is what I don't understand. Like, you know, maybe I could sit in a treehouse for the longest amount of time. But then you get these bathroom breaks, which to me, then it defeats the whole purpose of doing it.
Yeah, almost every record where it's the longest person to ever do whatever, they get 5 minutes per hour.
Yeah, that's stupid. Then it's not straight through.
You got to do it straight through.
So you would do it straight through? You never go to the bathroom anyway because you're a Borg.
Right.
Or a robot or something.
I would, if they said to me, your record has to be without any bathroom breaks, I'd be okay with that. Every once in a while, I would want something to eat or drink, but you're allowed that, right?
But again,
you could have that.
In my opinion, if you're going for like the world's longest ping pong game, you shouldn't get a break to eat or sleep or go to the bathroom. That's what makes it unique.
You got to play straight through.
Yeah,
right?
You'd have to get like a catheter put in for bathroom breaks.
Already have it. I come pre-catheterized.
And then you'd have to get like maybe a feeding tube so you wouldn't stop.
Well, they
stop.
Could, somebody, like if I was doing this, somebody could hand me a, you know, a donut or something while I was playing. I could keep playing and eating the donut while I was playing.
I would love to watch that video. Nothing substantial. He says a donut.
Or they could hit, like instead of a ping pong ball every once in a while, they could hit a Milk Dud at me and I could catch it in my mouth and just keep playing based on that. There's no reason to stop. I could find ways to make it continue.
I bet I could keep up the longest telephone conversation.
Oh, I'm sure of it. I'm positive. I'd sponsor that. I'm in.
What if they hang up, though?
All right, like with 1 second left.
All right, Bob has called in. We were talking about, what's her name? Zoe L'Amour.
Zoe L'Amour.
Yeah.
And this is Bob.
This is Bob in Northbrook.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob
in Northbrook.
Bob in Northbrook.
I'm Wendy in Chicago right now.
We have to talk.
What's up?
There's a thing. You may have heard of it. It's called Vector Edition. Anyway, this has to do with fans.
What is that?
There's 480-volt fans.
Yeah.
But on 480, it's actually 277 phase to ground. But if you go phase to phase, you have to do a correction. So that's a cosine.
And I don't know what you're talking about right now, Bob.
These are all mathematical terms, right?
Right. This has to do with fans. So here's the point.
All right.
There are fans that are strong enough where if you take a 1/8-inch thick piece of steel, the blade will tear right through it.
Yes.
There are other fans that are not drawing 50 or 100 amps at, say, a three-phase 600-volt current. They're only drawing a few watts out of, let's say, a 1.5-volt battery.
So they're easier to stop?
The difference. Right. There's certain ones you can stop with your fingernail. There's some you can stop with a piece of paper. And then there's other fans. They will actually cut through steel. So until we know what the actual torque, what the blade construction was it plastic? Was it aluminum? Was it steel? We don't know if it had diamond tips on it, which would cut through a lot of things. There's so many things we don't know as far as what the construction was and what the power was of the fan. It's all that is. I've been playing the clarinet for many years. I play for thousands of people on the North Shore.
Yeah.
Well, my tongue is very developed, I'll tell you. And I could stop a fan blade way faster than that.
Bob, leave your number.
Oh, you got Wendy all excited now.
There you go. But that's what I'm talking about. It's like when you put both, how much have you worked with your tongue?
Right.
Like on a clarinet.
Yeah.
And how much does the fan put out and what are the blades made out of? You've got all of these variables. That is not an impossible feat, and the person might even be able to speak clearly and enunciate, even after they got done, if they were using something with, let's say, a low wattage or a low torque and plastic blades that were thick enough, that kind of thing.
So I think you should try and beat her.
Oh. Would you be up for that?
Let's put it this way. When I don't need to beat her. I am already able to tongue fly to the bumblebee. So there's a famous guy way out in the western place
called Dragon Tongue, and I've gone head to head with him. And
let's hear a little of it.
You beat Dragon Tongue? Okay. You beat him?
Listen.
Right. Yeah, because he likes to do things, and but there's actually a way to do it. And if you do it just right, he can get some motion out of that thing.
Yeah.
Let's hear your Flight of the Bumblebee.
Can you do a little?
I wish I had the instruments with me right now. It'd be absolutely awesome. But there's ways you can track me down. I play with a guy that used to be on The Voice, and that's one of the people in one of my bands. So we get around. We do a lot.
All right,
of stuff.
Kevin will get your number. Bobby, thank you for calling.
Sir, yes, sir.
Thanks.
I'm a woman. Bob, I'm a girl.
I just like that. I know that.
Okay.
Just the way you show respect.
Thank you, Bob.
You got it.
All right, hang on.
So Bob is not impressed by the work of Zoe L'Amour, because he says that these were fans. She was using fans that could not potentially cut her tongue off. These were just, you know, cheap, easy fans that all you had to do was just touch them and they would stop.
Do you remember those pocket fans that you used to put a C battery in it?
Yeah.
And the fan would kind of, the fan blade would fold down. And then, like, I think they sold them at Disney or the zoo. And if you got hot, it was a little handheld fan.
Yes.
Those things you could stop with your finger.
But you've seen the ones, you've seen the video of Zoe L'Amour. It doesn't look like it's that grade of fan. It looks like it's, like, even what Bob said, let's say it's 100% true, I still wouldn't put my, would you put your tongue anywhere near that blade?
No, but she is using sparklers in various parts of her body, too. So she looks like a girl who wants to have fun.
She's just an old-fashioned girl, Wendy. That's crazy. I'm watching the video. That's sick. All right, let's take a quick break. And then there's more show coming. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder. We're telling you the story of Zoe Ellis. That's her real name, but she goes by Zoe L'Amour. She just broke the Guinness World Record for stopping
You need a tongue transplant.
Man, I do. Stopping fan blades with her tongue.
Does she prefer plastic or metal? Someone wants to know.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Help me remember this, because I'm only remembering bits and pieces. Was there a Happy Days episode where the whole episode was about them trying to get into the Guinness Book of World Records? There was some show where everyone on the show was trying to do something to get into the Guinness Book.
I remember that.
Wasn't it Happy Days?
I don't remember what show it was.
I want to say it was Happy Days, because for some reason I remember one of the characters did that thing where you put a bunch of dimes on your elbow.
Yeah.
And then you quickly swipe your arm down and you have to catch all the dimes.
That's not that hard.
And whatever their record was on the show, I beat it by 20.
All right. Well, someone has also texted in. Didn't Bill get in trouble after the first Major League movie for licking a fan?
Yeah, I did. But we settled out of court.
All right. All right. Somebody says I'm positive I could break the Ferris wheel record.
What's the Ferris wheel record? Just for the longest ride on a Ferris wheel?
Yeah, I would throw up. But somebody said, Wendy, you could totally beat Cindy Brady's seesaw record.
Oh, yeah.
You know, teeter totters, or if you call them seesaws, I always said teeter totters. Mm-hmm. I hated those things because I grew up across from a park, and we would be on those, and you'd always get an older kid in the neighborhood.
Right.
Who would let you, they were heavier than you, so they would leave you up in the air suspended for a while.
Yeah.
And you'd just get into it, and then all of a sudden they got off.
Right.
And you went slamming down. It was the worst thing.
It's not the safest of all the fun things at a park. Now, when you would be on the seesaw or the teeter-totter, did you sing the song that you're supposed to sing?
Teeter-totter, bread and water. That's all I know.
That's the whole song.
There are no more verses?
No.
That's a lame song.
Yeah, but it is a lame song. I will give you that. But for some reason, at the park near my house when I was growing up, if you didn't sing that song, people would get mad at you. Like, don't waste your time on the seesaw if you're not going to sing the teeter-totter song. Get off. Because we have the song ready. We want to sing the song. So get off if you're not going
to
sing it.
There has to be more words to that song.
That's the whole song. Teeter-totter, bread and water. And then you just...
Do that all day?
Yeah, you keep singing that.
I did do that all day, but I just thought I didn't know the rest of the song.
Teeter-totter, bread and water, teeter-totter, over and over and over.
That's what we should do during the stream today, is come up with more lyrics to that song. You're the songwriter, man.
All right.
We should work on that.
Teeter-totter, bread and water, just got attacked by an otter. There's more coming. I got more.
You work on that.
All right, we'll find out what Steve Bertrand has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.